He has his own podcast. What is it, y'all? Get my shit together.
Welcome to the Getting My Act Together podcast for Tuesday, December 5th, 2023. I hope you had a great weekend. I hope you have a big week in store. I hope that you are doing more of what makes you feel most like yourself. Like going to Barrio X Brewing tonight, Monday night, like I will be doing, to be telling new jokes or being solicited for retirement advice and asset management expertise by the host. I just did something I haven't done in, I couldn't tell you, decades. Maybe my wife would say I have done it, but I just intentionally defrauded an innkeeper. I don't know if that is the technical term, the legal charge for what I did. If you are a prosecutor or a former prosecutor in central New Jersey and you have insight into what I just did, feel free to contact the podcast at yesjoesmith@gmail.com and let me know, did I defraud an innkeeper or did I do something else? I walked into a grocery store a couple miles away from where my daughter goes to school. It's actually near the, I've told you I go by the Moe's gay bar that at 2:45, about every 2:45 p.m. Monday through Friday to pick up my daughter, and it's like New Year's Eve. Well, this grocery store is near Moe's, and in between Moe's and where my daughter goes to school, I guess, right around there. They're all in the same place. Hillcrest, California. Hillcrest, San Diego. But my legal minds out there, members of the bar, what I did inside this store, I stop inside, it's like a health food store. I stop in there and variously I will get, for me, Dad, I will get a 6-pack of Pilsner Urquell, which will last in my refrigerator for about 2.5 weeks. As I've mentioned, I occasionally like to have 1, maybe 3/4 of a Pilsner Urquell, which is delicious. But I also, on that trip to that health food store that sells Pilsner Urquell, somewhat paradoxically, I like to get a snack for my daughter when I pick her up from school. And she's come to expect it. Dada, did you bring a snack? Yes, girl, I did. And because it's a health food store, they have those rows of dispensers, like, here's this type of almond, and then here's a spicy almond, here's a salted almond, here's a whatever almond, here is a carob chip, here is a yogurt-covered coffee bean, and then you just depress the lever and it unloads from the slots the health food of choice into a bag or a plastic container that you, I'm on the mobile recording setup right now because I'm about to pick my daughter up from school in a little while. And listen to how loud this Porsche is in front of me when it starts. Let's hear it. Come on, guy. Can you hear it? Can you hear the throaty rumble of the halves? Can you feel someone who has committed their lives to accumulating, maintaining, and increasing their wealth? That is what this guy is driving, a Porsche Boxster S. Now he's just flexing even harder on me. He's putting the top down with the press of a button. Maybe we'll get to hear him take off. And you can go ahead, fucking Greatest Generation dude, and mean mug me in your mirror like so many Greatest Generations do. These dudes who are like 72 years old. And yeah, I get it. You know that you back in the day, you'd whip my ass, but not anymore. Or in an even go, a square go, as we might call it. It might, you know, in a different time when we're both 32, you might get me. But I'll get you now. And that's what matters, is beating up the elderly. In any case, members of the bar, let me know what I did. There are the dispensers, and you can select any one of these nuts, grains, whatever, banana chips. You get it. You've been to a health food store before. I like to sample different things to expose my daughter to them, just to give her, you know, she has a great palate, but just to see what strikes her fancy and just show her that I'm just trying out different things to see what she likes at its most basic level. It's not a huge life lesson, but if there is any life lesson in it, it's be a member of the Tri Club. Try different things. Try this, try that. So where I believe I defrauded an innkeeper today is what you do is you dispense the amount into your container. And then right there, they have these little stickers that you're supposed to write the corresponding, like a SKU, SKU number, from the nut you write onto the sticker, and you put that on your package, and you take it to the front. Much like when a deli or a butcher or a seafood person whips out that stamp, puts it on your meat, and I know. And then you take it to the front, and they scan it. They know exactly how much it should cost. Well, this is on the honor system because you just write the number of what you pulled down from the dispenser, take it to the front, and he enters that manually because it's a hippie thing, I guess. Enters it manually. They're doing it the more healthy way, more ergonomically correct, more in touch with nature as God divined it so long ago. However, long after the world and civilization had been humming along, did God show up? But that's for you all to square away so you can sleep at night. I selected some cashews. There were two sliders of cashews, two different columns of cashews. One of them, I think, was $13.99 a pound, which is exorbitant. Oh, but nuts are expensive. Everything's expensive. You remember so long ago at Farmer's Market when I was blown away by $10 eggs? I bet with inflation, they're not that, you know, eggs in the supermarket aren't that, are close to that now. So there are these $13.99 cashews that have a golden hue. Maybe they've been baked. Maybe they've been glazed with a little butter or something. I don't know. But they're $13.99. Right next to a pound, right next to them are cashews that are $7.99 a pound. And you, if you're standing in front of them, you could tell the difference. What I did is I filled my little container for my daughter with the $13.99 cashews. But what I did intentionally, dear listener, and this is because this podcast is about authenticity and me trying to show warts and all, and sometimes I show them without even trying. I want to be honest with you. I intentionally wrote down the number of the less expensive cashew, saving $4 a pound, right? Why did I do that? Did I set out to defraud the innkeeper when I walked into that store? No, I didn't. I think I was just curious to see what would happen. That's really it. I didn't need to do it, first and foremost. I did it. I don't even know if I wanted to do it. I guess I wanted to because I did it. But there was no imperative to do it. I think I just wanted to see what would happen. So I took the sticker, I put it on the container of cashews, and see what would happen is about as far as I got in imagining what would happen. I probably had a nanosecond thought about what's the worst that could happen. I get to the front, he's like, hey man, I'm cashews. I'm Joey Cashews. And you wrote the goddamn wrong number on here. And I know because I'm working at the front with everybody else who has autism. And we can remember 7,500 of those SKU numbers without thinking twice about it. And then I'd say, oh shit, my bad. I must have looked at the one while I wrote the other. And in the worst of worst scenarios, they could have just looked at me like, bullshit, you were trying to steal. And I'd be like, no, I wasn't. I'll pay the higher price. And they'd be like, don't ever come back in here. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. That was, to me, the worst case scenario. So I just kind of wanted to see what would happen without a tremendous amount of forethought. So that was my first stop. cashews. Cashews for the cashier. That was my first stop in the store. I got everything. I got the cashews. I put the lower priced sticker on it, which was the morally wrong thing to do. I intentionally, consciously, with clear head, full heart, did the wrong thing. I knew it was wrong, but as my mom said across my life, it's one thing to know the wrong thing or know the right thing, but it's another thing to know it and then do it. And she's right. I took my cashews with my little sticker on there. The sticker is 20944 with my own handwriting. And I suppose there's a bit of a, what am I trying to say? There's a bit of a social contract in that I'm going to appear to them to be somewhat trustworthy because I took the time to put the sticker on there and write it. I'm invested in, apparently, that is to all appearances, doing the right thing. That they're going to probably be more favorably inclined than not. They also probably are not expecting people to fucking shoplift or defraud the innkeeper. Prosecutors, members of the bar. Is that the right expression for what I did, defraud an innkeeper? I've heard that used in the terms of like, you take a taxi ride to a place and then people who like run out on a taxi, defrauding an innkeeper. People who go to a restaurant and then skip out on the check. Dine and dash, as it's known in some quarters, or chew and screw. I've been told that's called defrauding an innkeeper. I want to know, or maybe this is just shoplifting. I don't know. Members of the bar, former members of the bar, prosecutors, the people who spoke for the state, who spoke for the municipality, spoke for the county, people on the other side defending the good innocence when they are under the booted heel of the big state. Let me know what I did. They're probably favorably inclined to me. I take the nuts. Now, I take the nuts and I walk to the beer section. Probably not the first time that that voyage has been made. I take the nuts. I walk to the beer section looking for my humble six-pack of Pilsner Urquell, which, like I said, costs like $12. And I would love Pilsner Urquell to be part of this podcast. Howler Monkey Hot Sauce, the General Muir Bread, Prager Brother Bread in San Diego. Oh my God, is it unbelievable? Alligator Pear Chips in Atlanta. You know what I mean? Grateful Pastures, home of the former Eggman, my old friend the Eggman. There's a podcast way back called Grateful Pastures. If you want to get caught up on the Eggman, please do. He's the man who introduced me to $10 eggs. When my daughter and I would go to COVID, we would go to the COVID market. We'd sing a song. Going to farmer's market with COVID-19. I head back to the beer section. Before I can even find my six-pack of Pilsner Urquell, U-R-Q-U-E-L-L, I think it's spelled, I see a 12-pack of it, and it's for sale for $20. You know what? I can do that. I'm sitting blocks now away from my daughter's school, and I just saw a woman walk into a store. And the last time I saw that woman probably was 1997. And one of us has gained weight. It's not me. I did 8 miles yesterday. I am trying to see my daughter's 30th birthday. I ran for 8 miles. Do you know how well you sleep at night when you run for 8 miles? I go back. I get the beer. A 12-pack and a thing of nuts. Everybody in line has a comment. Not a bad pairing. Pretty good for a Monday afternoon. You got the right idea, son. You know how old you have to be to call me son, even though I have a youthful face. Everyone's got a comment. I hand the 12-pack, which I think, like I said, cost $20. And then the nuts, I couldn't even tell you how much they cost. Maybe three. I didn't even see what he rang up. But he just goes, hey, how you doing today? Old hippie. I'm like, I'm good, man. How are you? Ah, another day, etc. Just small talk. But we're polite to one another. He types in the number. And then he says, oh, man, this is a great combination, beer and nuts. I know, the words just kind of go right together, don't they? At the old, back when there used to be taverns. And I say that meaning for the upper middle class people who listen to this, the one percenters who go to like cocktail bars, there used to be things called beer nuts, and they were put in a wooden bowl on top of a tavern sill, a tavern bar, and they were there complimentary, and they were there for you to eat a few. So you get more thirsty, and you buy another old style on tap. Okay? Or whatever you drink wherever you are. They were meant to. That's why salty snacks in bars, you drink more, you crave more salt. The salt makes you crave more beer. Everybody wins. I walked out of the store with my nuts, with my premium nuts acquired at the well price. Why did I do that? Just to see what would happen. And you know what happened? You can get away with it. I got away with it. That's what would happen. So, you know what I should do out of fidelity for you, the moral podcast listener? The next time I go into that store, I will load up a container with the lower priced almonds or lower priced cashews, and then I will put the more expensive sticker on it. I will volunteer to do that, and in that way, I will make things equal between me and that health food store. I think that's the right thing to do. That's what I will do. I just wanted to see what would happen, and the answer is nothing. That was the experiment. It's also like if you buy a box of nails, you can do this. You can take the nails home with you. There she goes, this woman I haven't seen in 25, 30 years. There she goes, right around the corner, gone. You can buy a box of 100, 200, 500 nails, take them home, use fucking 20 of them, and then just return the box and say, I'm sorry, this is the wrong size. I've never done that. But two things. One, I see the stoners that work at Ace Hardware, okay? And the other thing is, if you go to Home Depot, if you just say the word, not what I wanted, that's all they need. They don't give a fuck. It's built into the model. I'm not saying do it. I'm not saying cheating. I've never even done that with nails. What I will do to make it right is I will acquire less expensive cashews next time. Maybe I'll even do it tomorrow. Or I'll try to do it before Friday's podcast. And then I will pay for the premium price for the lower quality cashews. You know what else I did while I was over in those bins? Just since I was breaking the law and just like, you know, Chevron and Exxon and the Niger Delta. Just that's kind of what I was doing today, and it's the sort of same impact on the world. Kind of like Vladimir Putin. I took one from the container. I took one piece, one nub, if you will, of healthy licorice, and it was delicious. Why? I don't. Because I just wanted one. That's why. But that's it. That's just doing whatever you've... That's trying to be like a free man. That's not right. In any case, nothing happens. So, I'm going to collect my daughter shortly. And then wrap up the podcast a little later. And with this big setup, you won't know the difference, hopefully. My daughter told me last night that we were stopped next to a post office that she knows is a post office, but she's still in this, and you have to remember this with very young people, they are not always grounded in reality. They're still trying to figure out what is certain. When we talk about what is true, what is certain, And meaning what is never going to change, what is going to change, what's going to die, what's not going to die, that sort of thing. And we're next to a post office that she knows is a post office. And she said to me, "Dada, is that a post office?" And, you know, I have patience. I'm like, "Yeah, it is, girl." I didn't say, "It's just like you asked me yesterday. Don't you remember?" I don't do that. And she said, maybe instead of being a doctor, I could work in the... No, she didn't say that. She said, maybe instead of going to college, I could work at the post office. Which is amazing. I said, "What are you going to go to college for?" And she said, "To be a doctor." And I said, and I thought to myself, how do you know you don't need to go to college to work at the post office? I don't know that, personally. I, your host, speaking now. So I told that to my wife, and she's like, "Yeah, these are her three career choices." My wife had not heard about the Postal Service. She had heard about my daughter wants to be a doctor, or she could be the paramedics helper. She could be the not the driver of the ambulance, but she could be the second person. She could be the other paramedic, if it, as it were. Kids say the darndest things. And you know what? You can get jokes out of them. I did that when I went out to do stand-up comedy the other night. I'm going to Barrio X tonight. I'm recording this on Monday afternoon. I'm going to Barrio X tonight. I would like to, before I move on, shout out the 1,500 people at Spotify, which owns this technology on which you're listening to this, that are being laid off by Spotify. Spotify gave all of its money to Joe Rogan, and now it doesn't have any. And so they have to lay off 15, they have to support the margins. They're laying off like almost 20% of their workforce. And I'm sorry for those people. I really am. And believe me, we're all in business with shady shit. Spotify hosts, Spotify owns Anchor, or now it's called something Spotify for Podcasters. And it could not make my job as a podcaster easier. I'm going to commit myself to getting this podcast on a more niche-y comedy kind of podcast network, because you really listen. Thank you. Just something less like cover the waterfront shotgun approach like Spotify. Things can get lost, you know. And in any case, Spotify doesn't pay anybody anything. There is no value in recorded music. There's no, except for Joe Rogan and Taylor Swift. I'm not mad at them. Get your money. But, you know, you don't pay anybody else. That's the fucking problem. Weird Al did a thing the other day. He said he got 80 million plays this year, which paid him just 80 million streams Weird Al got on Spotify, which he said was just enough to buy a sandwich. That'll earn him just enough to buy a sandwich. Anyways, in any case, I am sorry that you were victims of the margins. Victims of, you know, we couldn't forecast. It's your fucking job to have a vision. The best companies don't lose anybody when the tide goes out. You know why? Because they actually care about the people. And they understand it's better business. Even if you're enriching yourselves at the top of the organization, it's still better business to be consistent, to culturally not have these up and downs like Coca-Cola. We're going to lay off 40,000 people in 3 years. We're going to hire another 25. And then 2 years after that, we're going to lay off 80,000. It just tells people that work for you to steal from you. What it tells you, dear big business, is your people should at all times being... should be trying to maximize what they're getting out of you. You've heard me say it. I'm not going to go on a big anti-capitalist screed. It's the best system, blah, blah, blah. It's the worst system, but the best one we got. Companies generally keep people employed because they are profitable. People generally work at companies because they do just enough to keep them around. As a result of this delta, for you economists, the business is always winning because they're profiting on you. They're not going to keep you around if you're break even, generally speaking, but you'll keep your company around if you're breaking even. What I would suggest is to do more of the profiting. Do your job, but work less hard doing it. Take longer trips to the bathroom. Spend more time looking at your phone. Your company is always winning. You are always breaking even. And that just sets up an inequality that works against you. And how could they? I cared so much and I can't believe this. And they, after all, these guys been here for 20 years. They don't give a fuck. And you should treat it exactly the same way. In the spirit of being candid, authentic, I just want to let you know that right now while I'm talking to you is like 6 hours after I started talking to you and finished on that screed about how you should do more to get over on the people that write your check, because they're not people. It's a machine. Anyway, it's 6 hours later, 7 hours later. I am several updates for you. First of all, my daughter got in the car. Dada, you have a snack? I'm like, yeah, girl, check it out. I don't like cashews. That's what she said right off the bat. I was like, oh, okay, well, then you know what? Good news. More for me. And more for the woman who was running carpool line, because as she opened the door, the way they do it is, parents, please do not get out of the car when you're picking up, because it creates a clusterfuck and it drives us crazy and we don't make that much money. Because for some reason, people in this country feel that teachers are overpaid, when really, it's a thankless job that we babysit your fucking kids all day because you are so self-centered, but also caught up in the capitalist system where you have to devote all your time to working, that you can't be good fucking parents and have a one-income home, one-income existence in the United States of America. So we step in and we serve as the people taking care of you. And we don't have a whole lot of latitude to make any less money. And as a matter of fact, we are so stressed out that you can see the looks in our eyes when we say to you, please just keep yourself in the goddamn carpool line. Don't get out of the car. And then the door opens. And they push my kid in and say, have a nice day. And my daughter says, okay, see you tomorrow. And the person who's woefully underpaid, probably, even though my daughter's school, the coastal elite feel-goodery, just did a big day of giving for the teachers. Hey man, if you guys are as good as you say you are, you should be at the vanguard of paying teachers more money and not asking the people who already pay to send their kids to school there for more fucking money. I'm just saying. But again, it's how the capitalist system pits people against people through the mechanism of the organization. My kid's school is not made of people. It's an institution. Any of those people would be fired at any moment. In any case, the woman who stuck my daughter into the car during pickup said, oh yeah. I said, would you like a few? And she goes, yeah. And she said, are they salted? And I said, no. And she goes, mmm. And then she ate them and she goes, oh my gosh, they're delicious. And then she hollered to another woman doing carpool line and said, hey, would you like some cashews? And all of a sudden, with that comment, I'm the creepy dad in the car picking up the kid who is offering the blondes on carpool line some cashews. In any case, my daughter rejected the cashews. So not a whole lot to see here, there. See or hear there in that instance, in that case. And it doesn't really inform my shoplifting or defrauding of an innkeeper. Another pickup from earlier today, as I walked out of that store with my 12-pack of Pilsner Urquell and my stolen, I suppose, cashews, I walked right out in front And these two guys from Earth First or some nature sort of cause, I saw them posted up talking to somebody, haranguing somebody as I was walking into the store. They were out, you know, collecting signatures and soliciting donations for whatever their cause was. I accomplished what I'd set out to do. I got my discounted cashews. I got my $20 12-pack of Pilsner Urquell. I didn't want to stop and talk with these guys. And fundraisers across the globe, if you made it, and I'm talking about like people who finance terrorism, if you made the barrier to entry so much easier, like if these guys or anybody else in the world would just say, give me your credit card. I don't care about your name, phone number, any of this shit. Just give me your credit card. Then that would be so easy for me. But I don't want to give my phone and address and social security. If you just said credit card, it would be kind of anonymous for me. Almost like a super PAC, if you will. Almost like a corporation funding candidates and funding ballot initiatives without anybody really knowing who is behind it. Okay? It's dark, dirty money. In any case, I didn't want to deal with these knuckleheads who are doing nothing other than what they believe in with their actions to make the world a better place. As soon as I walked out with my nuts, my beer and my nuts, they said, excuse me, can I? And I said, which I thought was pretty quick thinking. I'm a stand-up, you know, I occasionally have to think on my feet. I said, I'm not registered to vote here. Which I thought would just, you know, that used to be the prerequisite to do anything with those people when you come out of the grocery store. And I thought that was going to be a checkmate. I said, I'm not registered here. I kept walking with pace, and they go, you don't have to be. And I said, fuck. And I walked back and listened to them. And they said, do you care about nature? Do you like nature? I was like, yeah. Like, well, what are you going to say? Like, no, man, fuck nature. I don't like air, dude. Come on, man. I don't like trees, bro. They're just blocking up my view of the TV. You know what I mean? Do you like nature? Yeah, we're all right. And your fundraiser is another thing. And psychologically, this is a little feedback for you. They said, for only 87 cents a day or something like that, we will, it's like 35 bucks a month, or I don't know what the math was. They asked me to donate, but it was only on it had to be on a recurring basis. And I'm sure fundraisers have done the homework on how this works. I said, can I pay you, can I give you my credit card right now and just make a $25 donation? And they said, no, it has to be on I'm subscribing to it. Like each month will knock your credit card, even if it's 87 cents, which I think is what they said it was daily. But they said, well, just, no, you can't, it has to be a recurring donation thing, whatever that's called. And I'm not trying to fall in love. I'm not trying to have a relationship. I'll give you 25 bucks and maybe forget that we ever had an interaction until the next time I'm out walking around or running for 8 miles on a Sunday morning, thinking, God, fuck nature. Oh, shit, I just gave $25 to help those guys the other day. It's like Wikipedia. You go to Wikipedia, and they're crying at the top for make a donation of whatever, whatever, whatever. If you make it, just press PayPal and we'll automatically charge your card and you don't have to do anything else, I would do it 100 out of 100% of the time. 100 out of 1, you know what I'm saying? Because I believe in PayPal. I don't believe in PayPal. I believe in Wikipedia. I'd be happy to do that. But there's all this, what's your name, what's your address, and all this. And I'm old. I just don't, you know. What are they going to do with it? Paul Olinger and Facebook. In any case, I told those guys, I'd be happy to make a payment, but bruh, I don't want the subscription thing. And they're like, he's like, I'm sorry, we can't do that. But you can go on the website. I'm sure that as soon as I get home, as soon as I pick up my daughter, offer her some cashews, take her to the playground after school where she is making substantial progress in her climbing goals and her, what do you call them, monkey bar. Monkey bars are a real kind of rite of passage, it seems like, for kids. Because there's a long way to fall. It's you and the bars. In any case, dude, I'm never going to remember to go online and make a donation because I saw you standing outside this health food store. But what I was going to say, psychologically, fundraisers, is there is getting someone to comply with you is so much easier if you ask for something small. Ask for something small first, then increase your request as time goes on. That's getting someone on a hook and reeling them in. And there are numerous different streams of social psychological literature that discusses and supports this contention. You don't on the first date say, respectfully for young people, what's up, you want to fuck? What you do is you say, oh, that was a lovely date, we're holding hands. I'm not going to steal a kiss because that sounds like I'm acting untoward your person, but I'm going to gently place a peck on your cheek and tip my cap. Have a wonderful evening. And then the counterparty there might say, actually, that wasn't that much of an ask. Why don't you stick your hand in my shirt? In any case, the literature really supports the idea that a small request. Read Robert Cialdini, Cialdini, his classic work called Persuasion or Influence. It's called Influence, I'm sorry. How classic is it? I don't remember the fucking title of it. But Cialdini will, I think it's called Influence. Just a small request. Asking me to sign up for a subscription that is going to last for 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, or make sure you cancel after 6 weeks, it's too much. Interestingly, and this is to me, the way my mind works, it's actually a smaller request in my eyes to just say, give me $25 with your credit card one time, and I would have done that only because they called my bluff, or they called bullshit when I said, oh, dude, I'm not even registered here. They're like, yeah, don't worry about it. I'm like, all right, you got me. You had a good comeback. It was like when I went to Istanbul with my wife and we're in the Turkish bazaar, and the guy comes at me and he's like, just giving me the hard sell and, like, you know, trying to separate me from my money and buy some shit that I don't need nor want. He's like, he starts talking to me in English, and I push back and say, oh, no hablo español, no hablo inglés. Lo siento, no hablo inglés. And he's like, oh, okay. Right, this dude standing outside the Turkish bazaar is like, oh, yeah, no sweat. Yo hablo español, ¿qué pasó? ¿Quieres dame tu dinero? And I was like, oh, no, soy italiano. Parlo un po' italiano. And the guy at the Turkish bazaar who was trying to separate me from my money, when I say Turkish bazaar, I mean the Turkish bazaar in Istanbul. World famous across time, I guess. I tried to pull the, I don't speak English. And he quickly was like, all right, I got you Spanish, Italian, what do you need? And I almost felt like I should give him money just for having his game that together. And I felt the same way with these kids today. Unfortunately, they couldn't take anything more than a 90-month subscription or whatever that was. So I left with just my beer and my nuts. The final pickup from earlier today is, as you know, when I record this, Even though I said it's going to come out noon Eastern, that's the new way, so I could have Tuesday morning to record these. When I can record Monday nights, Monday afternoons, whenever the case, whenever I can record on Monday, they're still going to come out on, they're still going to come out Tuesday at noon Eastern. But when I record on Monday, sometimes I get to go to an open mic in San Diego in Barrio Logan on Monday nights. This is what I'm saying. I'm on the other side of that. For weeks, I have been calling this open mic Barrio X Brewing in Logan Heights, in Barrio Logan. Right? I talk about the guy who tries to be my asset manager. I talk about how, you've heard me talk about it. I love going there. It's a really, really challenging place to have a conversation, to talk as an entertainer, to do your jokes, your little skits, which makes it so productive for a performer, for someone like me who gets to work out these jokes with like zero stakes. And you bomb. I mean, you know, or you just sort of slog through and you see a few teeth out there and a few chuckles and, you know, it's chaotic. For weeks, I've been referring to this place as Barrio X, the name of the brewing company. Well, guess what I found out tonight? It's called Border X. It's Border X Brewing. And that matters. Border X Brewing in Barrio Logan hosts the open mic every Monday night, except tonight. Which I found out when I got down there. To say that it's not Barrio X, it's Border X Brewing. Last week I went and it was over after like 45 minutes and the bartender's like, yeah, dude, sorry. Tonight I was driving up and down Logan Avenue and I was like, where is this fucking place? I know where I am. I've seen it a million times. Oh, lo and behold, and I even looked on my phone at the address, 2181 Logan Avenue, and I drove past it, and oh, that's why I didn't recognize it, because all of the windows are shut and closed, and all of the hardwood protecting, whatever you call those, facades, are also closed, and they're painted black, and the whole goddamn place is shut down. Because it was like an employee party or something like that. So I'm not upset about that. But I knew, I forgot it. I didn't know it, but I forgot that I learned that information last week. When the bartender's like, yeah, man, it was a light turnout and the host wrapped up or whatever it was. Also, don't come next week. He said, don't come next week because there's like an employee party. But we'll be back the week after. But man, I'm not going to remember that. I should, because I do stand-up comedy, so relatively speaking, rarely in San Diego, which oddly has kind of made me a better comic, because I'm sure I take every at-bat way more seriously. I think about my jokes way more intensely, and my act is getting stronger. But I never would have thought, oh, fuck, yeah, that's right. I should think, oh, yeah, he told me last week that there's going to be no mic tonight. Instead, all day long, unconsciously, I was looking forward to going to Barrio Logan and working on these jokes. I ended up going. It was not happening. And then I came home and wrapped this up with you. And that's about all I have. I have one other thing. I told you the old sod will be hosting the show. My show, fingers crossed, still happening. I sent my contact there a text saying, all good, and he sent back, all systems go. I went in there after my 8-mile run on Sunday and met with the person who is responsible for the sound and the video in the bar, texted me on like Friday and said, hey, I heard you're starting a show. Would love to see what you need, what you what you want it to look like, feel like. And I went over there Sunday afternoon, which is yesterday, after my 8 mile run and like a 20 minute nap at me time, and met him. He was super cool. He's like, oh yeah, this is going to be great, dude. I love the fact you're doing it every week. It has to be like that to build a following. And I'm like, I know. I just hope the bar gives me enough chance to prove the concept. I'll make it a thing. And we were talking about, okay, we'll have lighting like this. Maybe we get a little riser to boost up the comics, kind of like a stage, if you will. It's going to be great. I mean, more of a stage. It's going to be great. And we're hyped. And I'm like, all right, sounds good. And then I think there are two owners, maybe three owners. One of the owners sort of wandered in, and the, I'll call him the AV guy, the audiovisual guy, said, oh yeah, hey, this is Joe. He's going to be running the comedy show. And for a moment in that interaction with the owner, who was super nice and interested, but interested in a way that told me he didn't have the whole story. For that moment, meaning somebody, I don't know how it all works, but here's what I walked away from that feeling. Fuck, I'm not sure this guy knows that there's going to be a comedy show in his bar, or I've been told and people have told me that there's going to be a comedy show in his bar every Wednesday night. This, the vibe was like, oh yeah, sounds good. Let's give it a shot. You know, we do other stuff in here on Wednesday. And I was like, man, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. I was told Wednesday was the night where nothing was happening. You know, whatever you say, right? I go into that mode. And he's like, oh yeah, no, it's just like sometimes. And he was very nice. And I get the sense wants it to work. He's like, yeah, let's give it a shot. I walked away from that interaction like, this is not great. Like, he's going to go to somebody and say, so what's the deal? You told that guy you can do a show here every fucking week? And that person's going to be like, I guess I told him that. And they will have to work that out among themselves, between them. Which is why I sent the text to the dude saying, hey, all good? And he said, all systems go. So fingers crossed, first show is January 10th. I'm doing the show. Remember when I was underlining the illustriousness of my comedy career when I had a show canceled because of weather? How come the show was canceled? Well, it rained. And I said the guy gaslighted me by he didn't send a message to the group, or if he did, he didn't include me. Well, he didn't. And I showed up at the place and it was canceled. But then a couple days after he said I sent a note, he circled back, or he sent another text or Facebook message saying, hey, sorry about the miscommunication. I thought I sent the message, but it didn't go. Are you available for November 30th or whatever last week was? And I said, I hadn't seen it for like 6 days or something, because I don't look at Facebook Messenger as much as somebody who's dying to be booked on a comedy show that could get canceled if it rained. In any case, he was nice and he offered me another spot. And I'm doing it Wednesday, December, whatever that is, December 6th. So I'm going to go tell jokes at who knows where, Little Italy in San Diego. Have a great rest of the week. I'll talk to you on Friday. Let me know if you have any thoughts around how you like the podcast coming out noon Eastern. Let me know your thoughts about noon Eastern. I know it's a lot later. But if you're jonesing for podcast episodes, you know, between 5 a.m. and noon, go back and start at the beginning and see how, if you think this is bad, go back and see how dreadful they were at the beginning and let me know which episode you hated the most and which was the dumbest thing I've ever said. And let me know also if I was defrauding an innkeeper or doing something else today. All right, have a great week and I'll talk to you on Friday.